Listen, I know, you know, we live in a messed up world, do we not? I mean, it is just a world that is upside down. But boy, it's good to be able to turn to the Word of God. And as we turn to John here, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. We're going to find here John is, of course, penning the words here and going to give an account of Jesus Christ. And before we ever kind of get started this morning, it's still the same answer. Christ is always the answer. He's the answer for the problems in our country. He's the answer to the problems that they have in California. He's the answer to your problem. He's the answer to my problem this morning. And thank God for Jesus Christ. We're going to begin reading here in verse number 1. And John starts off by saying, in the beginning. Now, every time I read that, my mind goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse number 1. Does anybody know how that verse begins? In the beginning, God did what? He created. And so we find here that John pens the words, in the beginning was the what? The Word. So we find here, and by the way, you know, there's some little bit of a debate on, you know, when it says the Word, I mean, what's he kind of dealing with? What's he talking about here? You're going to find here that as we, well, let's look at verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was who? It was God. Now, you have to understand here, if you go down to verse number 14, and that's where my lesson is to go down to verse 14, it says, and the Word was made what? It was made flesh and dwelt among us. Does anybody know who that flesh was? Jesus Christ. So we find here in the first 14 verses here, well, he's going to talk about John the Baptist too here, but primarily John is describing who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ has been Jesus Christ from the very beginning. In fact, you'll find that Jesus Christ, God, the Word, they're all one. When did it begin? It's from the very beginning. God has always been, right? We understand this morning. There's never been a time when God was not. God is the beginning. You know, there's always people in our human minds often want to know, well, you know, where does God begin? And that, you know, scientifically, I don't really know how to answer that question. All I can say is there's never been a time where God was not. God was here before this earth was here. God was here before the trees were here. God was here as before any ancient artifact that you can find on planet Earth. And however old that may be, God was way before that because he's always been. Never been a time when there was not God. And we find here in verse number 1 that it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So what does that mean? It means that the Word was God. As you study here, you'll find that, and you have to understand that John is describing the beginnings of his account or the life of Jesus Christ, and trying to make us understand who Jesus Christ is. Jesus, God, and the Word are going to be the same here. As he begins and says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse number 2, the same was in the beginning with God. I'm glad this morning that our foundation is built upon God. You know, we sat in a building this morning, and underneath the flooring here, you'll find there's floor joist underneath the plywood, and you'll find that somewhere down through there that it's sitting on probably concrete blocks, and those concrete blocks are sitting on concrete that was dug down inside the earth, and somebody had to form a foundation under here. And if you don't get the foundation right, everything above it is not going to last. Did you help pour the foundation? Brother Jay, did you help pour the foundation? I hope you did a good job. Because if you didn't do a good job pouring that foundation, this thing may fall in on top of us this morning. Life has multiple problems. And I tell you what, you deal with people, you'll find out we live in some very complex days with a lot of complex problems this morning that people have. But listen, man, I may have a lot of problems in life, but I'm glad that my foundation is built on God this morning. And God's the foundation. Why? Because He's the beginning. You can't go back any further than God. You'll never go back in time and surpass God. God's always been. You'll find here that He was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the same, verse number 2, was in the beginning with God. Verse number 3, all things were made by Him. As I read verse 1, 2, and 3, my mind always tends to go back to Genesis at the beginning when God created. You see, everything was made by Him. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, what? Help me. In the beginning, what? God, what does He do in verse number 1 of Genesis chapter 1? He does what? He creates. Okay? In John chapter 1, verse number 3, John says Jesus created. Because he's describing Jesus Christ here. Now, some of you say, see, there's a contradiction. John's contradicting Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. He's not contradicting it at all because they're the same. A lot of debate on who is God and who is Jesus Christ. And I don't even know how you can even separate the Word of God here because they're all three the same this morning. There is no contradiction in John chapter 1 and verse number 3. Because John, as he is showing here, Jesus is the eternal Word, if you would. Jesus is God. They are the same this morning. You'll find in verse number 3 that all things were made by Him. You know, when you are the Creator, it doesn't surprise me, it doesn't shock me this morning that Jesus Christ could walk on water. He created water. Doesn't surprise me this morning that Jesus Christ could calm a raging storm because He created that. There's nothing that we have that Jesus Christ did not create this morning. The pew that you sit on is made out of wood. Wood comes from what? Trees. Guess who made the tree? God. The very pew that you sit on this morning is given and made and created by God. You understand that? When I feel this wood right here, this is oak. It came from an oak tree. The reason there was an oak tree is because God created that oak tree. Do you understand that? This very pew or this pulpit that I touched this morning is from God. God made this right here. You know, mankind can invent a lot of things, so to speak. And, you know, number one, may I say this, mankind has never made anything. Do you understand it? Well, what do you mean they didn't? You know, the car I drive, I mean, some factory made that, and there was somebody on assembly line that made that. You know, even the metal in your car this morning came from God. Man makes nothing this morning. It just maybe form some things together. We can take wood and we can cut it and we can shape it and we can sand it and we can round off the edges of that oak tree. But when it comes down to it, that oak tree that you're sitting in, you're sitting on an oak pew this morning, that oak pew that you're sitting on was created by God. The clothes on your back, the fabric that creates the clothes on your back came because it was created by God. We find in verse number 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Pretty simple there. I don't have a hard time understanding that, do you? God created everything. And it says here, and without Him was not anything made. So you're never going to possess anything that God in the beginning did not create. Are y'all with me so far? Pretty simple to understand this morning. John here is laying a foundation and trying to somehow humanly speaking, if you could here, trying to give us a good insight of who we're talking about. We're talking about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Verse number 4. In Him was what? Life. We acknowledge this morning that life comes from God. Every child that is born on this day is given life and is going to take a breath of air for the first time because of God. That's why we take such a big stand on life. And we're so stupid nowadays, when does life really begin? You know, and all that other nonsense that people want to debate. I don't think it's very difficult at all. I think everybody that's living is a gift from God. I think life is a gift that God gives. The reason we're here this morning, today is a day, it's a gift from God today that we live. It goes on and he says here verse number 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Two interesting words in verse number 4. You got the word life and you got the word light. Jesus Christ is both of them. Right? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We're talking spiritually speaking here. For instance, I thought about this on the way here, and I may even confuse myself here a little bit. If the sun doesn't shine, it's going to be what outside? Dark. Now, we're talking physically speaking here. There is a sun in the sky that is shining, which creates light. And when the earth, when it turns and it turns around where the light is facing on us on planet Earth, we have light. So if we take the sun away, there's only going to be what? Darkness. So the sun is what dispels the darkness. Am I correct? Hey, spiritually speaking, that's what Jesus Christ does, because without Jesus Christ, it is dark. All right? Jesus Christ is the light, and we're going to use this even as a spiritual application as we go forward here in the book of John, but you've got to understand the foundation here, that Jesus Christ, he is the light of the world. Boy, I don't know that our minds can comprehend this, but if there's no Jesus Christ, we don't have salvation. Without salvation, dear friend, it's nothing but darkness. It's all just doom and gloom. There's no hope. There's no future. But boy, Jesus Christ steps on the scene and he dispels all darkness and he is the light. He's the life, as he describes here in verse number 4. He's also the light of men. Verse number 5. And by the way, in verse number 4, where it says here, in him was life. Now, you have to understand, nobody gave him life. He always was. You understand? My mom gave birth to me. Nobody had to birth God. God's always been. Nobody gave him life because he's always been life. He says in verse number 5, and the light, talking about Jesus Christ, shineth in what? Darkness. So, spiritually speaking, Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God, kind of, and he dispels darkness. He gets rid of darkness, kind of like the sun in the sky that's shining down right now. It's not dark outside because of the sun that shines. Spiritually speaking, Jesus Christ shines light into a dark, or in darkness in verse number 5. And then verse number 5 also says, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's a sad note right there. It says in verse number 5, and the light shineth in darkness. And by the way, that light's still shining today. Now, we may look and watch the news, and we may see that it's kind of a lot of depressing news out there, and it's kind of doom and gloom, and it seems like we live in a dark world, and I've made that comment many times this morning. But I have to also acknowledge and make sure that we understand this morning, it may be dark spiritually outside, but the light's still shining. That's Jesus Christ. Then it says in verse number 5, and the darkness here comprehended it not. And that principle still applies today. There's some people that just don't comprehend the light. There are people today that has not accepted the light, that being Jesus Christ. And by the way, the devil will do everything he possibly can to keep people in darkness. He works every day. He works relentless to try to keep people in bondage of darkness. And sad to say this morning that there's going to be some people, they don't comprehend the light. And that's the way it's always. And that's nothing new. We have to understand, when you read your Bible, not everybody accepted Jesus Christ. Not everybody welcomed him. So it shouldn't surprise us that in the year we live in, not everybody's going to have open arms to the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Not everybody's even going to accept that message. It goes on in verse number 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was what? His name was John. If you have a Scofield Bible, there'll be a little heading there. It says the ministry of John the what? John the Baptist. We're going to talk a little bit about him, probably more so next week than we are this morning. But he is going to introduce here someone that is sent by whom? God. All right, talk with me. Y'all listen. Y'all wake up. He was sent by whom? God. God sent John the Baptist. Okay, so his credentials are from whom? God. If you were to go in the office of John the Baptist on the wall, he'd have a diploma. It comes from God, right? Do you still have your college diploma? You still have yours? You do? All right. And that's just a piece of paper that basically states that he went to college here and successfully completed the course of study and what he studies, and it has it could have a college name on it, and that kind of, it's supposed to really mean something. To be honest, it doesn't mean anything this morning. The only thing that matters is this man here, it was sent from God. I could go to Harvard University and get a diploma. And boy, people would just ooh and all, oh my, you know, that's an elite college and so forth. It's full of a bunch of infidels too, by the way. And we think that's supposed to be impressive. Harvard University diploma doesn't impress God at all. But I tell you what, when you look at John the Baptist, you find out that it plainly tells us here that he was sent. It says, I'm in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. So we've got, and you're going to find here as you read through, you're going to find we're talking about John the Baptist. Now let me say this. His name is not John Baptist, okay? His name's not John, last name Baptist. He's John the, what? Baptist. Does anybody know why he was called the Baptist? Because he did what? He baptized people. Guess where that credential came from? It was a heavenly credential. Now, this is very, very important. Now, let me just say this, and I don't want to irk you, but there's a reason why we're Baptist. And I'm not ashamed this morning that I'm a Baptist. Now, I know a lot of them are ashamed of it, but I'm not. I'm a little perturbed with a lot of churches. Sometimes you got to get a magnifying glass out to find out that they're a Baptist church, because it's almost like they're ashamed of it nowadays. And by the way, I don't know if you've ever read Trail of Blood. There's a little pamphlet, it's a little booklet, it's not very long. If you've never read Trail of Blood, I'd almost make it where you can't come to church anymore if you don't read it. Have you ever read Trail of Blood? Okay, all right. You ought to look and research the Baptist history and what people, there's people died for what we have this morning. Persecuted just because they were a Baptist. And he's called John the Baptist because he did what? He baptized people. Who gave him the authority to baptize people? Who gave him that commission? Who gave him that charge? Anybody want to take a shot at it? God. You know why? Because he was sent by whom? God. Right? I don't want to be ugly, but it doesn't say John the Methodist. Maybe I missed it somewhere and you helped me out. It doesn't say John the Catholic. It doesn't say John the Presbyterian. Are y'all with me? It's John the Baptist. The reason he's called John the Baptist is because he baptized. The reason he baptized people was because he was commissioned by God, because he is sent by God. It's not complicated, is it? Brother Dwayne, you understand it? You got it. All right, good. All right, here we go. So we got John the Baptist. He was sent of God. He is one who baptized, which was very different ministry than everybody else. He had a very He had a very unique ministry, I guess you could say, and he was a one-man kind of a show ministry, if you would. He was commissioned by God because he is sent by God. Nobody else has the authority to do this except John the Baptist. Now, you will find in the New Testament, I think it's Matthew chapter 28, you'll find what we classify the Great Commission, where that commission is also given to the local New Testament church. Are y'all with me? Not anybody has this commission. Nobody has this approval. Nobody else has this authority. Except when you read the Word of God, you'll find that John the Baptist had it, and then you're going to find that Jesus Christ also gave that authority to his church. Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel, right? And we have what we call the Great Commission. The Great Commission was given by whom? Jesus Christ. Okay? He gave that authority to those that were his followers, if you would, or to the church that he established. And by the way, I think we're all in agreement here. Peter didn't start the church. Jesus Christ started the church. Now, Bible scholars say, well, what day did he start it on? A lot of debate on, okay, when did the actual church begin? Because you're not going to read in a verse where it says Jesus Christ started the local New Testament Baptist Church on July the 8th of, you know, it doesn't have that in there. So there's a debate on when did it actually begin. I think Mr. Schofield said Peter started the church. Am I right? Did Schofield kind of allude to that maybe in some of his notes and so forth? I don't agree with that at all. It's just my personal opinion. And you say, well, you're wrong. I may very well may be. I think Jesus Christ started the local New Testament church. I think he started it when he started calling his disciples to become followers of his and so forth. And I believe that to be true. I'm not going to go a lot further. I believe that the church Jesus Christ started was a baptizing Baptist church. I need to hide. Okay, that's my opinion. I'm biased. I think my opinion's right. You can't debate with me this morning that John the Baptist was sent of God, because the Bible tells me that. I know for a fact that he's going to baptize because he was commissioned by a heavenly commission to be a baptizer. That's why he becomes John the Baptist. Okay. I also know that I can go in the New Testament and tell you that the local New Testament church, and it's singular, was commissioned to reach the lost, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. What's the gospel? Y'all help me out. The gospel is what? Death, burial, resurrection of whom? Jesus Christ. Okay? And also is commissioned to baptize those who trust Christ as their Savior. Okay? All right? Now, I don't know how I'm getting away. This is nowhere even near my notes this morning, but I believe that Jesus Christ started one church. I don't ever find anywhere in the Word of God where he went out and started 15 different types of churches. Right? Now, I think that you'll find that, and when I say different churches, I mean different types of churches. All right? Now, this, just as your Sunday school teacher, this is just my opinion. I do not believe that Jesus started a Baptist church for those that want to be Baptist, the Methodist church down the road for those that want to be Methodist, or the Catholic church on the other side of town for those that want to be Catholic, or the Pentecostal church over here because they want to be that, or the Mormon church over here because they want to be that. I don't think Jesus Christ did that. They all teach something different. Are we okay? All right. All right, here we go. So John the Baptist, verse number 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a what? A witness. Here's the reason and the purpose of God sending John the Baptist. He came for a witness, to bear witness of that what? Light. Right? But why? Because Jesus Christ is the light. Okay, he's talking about Jesus Christ. Verse number 7, and it says that all men through him might do what? Believe. Through whom? Christ. It's not saying that you get saved through John the Baptist. He's just a witness. He's a witness of the light. It says in verse number 7 here, that all men through him might do what? Believe, to be saved, born again into the family of God. And John the Baptist was sent of God to bear witness of that. Now, what is a witness? I like watching all shows that have to do with crime and court cases and courtrooms and the prosecuting attorney and the defending attorney, and they're debating it back and forth. And to have a good prosecution, you got to have a good witness. Okay? A witness that goes to court and sits in a booth or in a chair will be in front of the courtroom, and that individual has to take an oath that I will tell the what? Truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They used to make them hold their hand over a Bible. They don't have to do that anymore. They ought to. That individual as a witness cannot tell that courtroom what he or she believes. They can only tell what they know or what they have seen. Right? That's what John the Baptist was. He is going to deliver a message to the world of what he knows and what he has seen. Are y'all with me? He is a witness. This morning, we are a witness. Now, sometimes we're good ones and sometimes we're lousy ones. But we are a witness. We often will say we ought to go out and be a witness to the world. What does that mean? You go out and tell them what you know. Right? Listen, we ought to walk out of the doors of our church so boldly. Not cowardly, not kind of timid in a way. I mean, we ought to go out into the world boldly. Because why? Because I have the word. This word right here tells me the answers. It tells me the way to heaven. We all know this morning by reading the word of God that salvation is through Jesus Christ and him alone. How do I know that? Because the word of God tells me. We know that. I don't walk out of here hoping that, or it might be, or I think it might be. I know so. I like when preachers say, I know so salvation. It's not, I hope it all works out. I hope God lets me in, or I hope that I'm saved, or I hope that it works out in the end. I don't have a hope so salvation. I have a I know so salvation. So we find here in verse number 7, the same came for a witness. He's talking about John the Baptist. That's what he is. He's not God. He's not the Son of God. He's not the Word. He's not the light. He's not the way of salvation. John the Baptist, he's just a witness. But he's a witness that is sent of God. And what is he to do? He is to bear witness in verse number 7 of the light. We've already established the light is speaking of Jesus Christ, that all men through him might believe. That's the ultimate goal, is that mankind may be saved. You're not going to get saved outside of that light. That light is Jesus Christ. Verse number 8, it kind of clarifies to make sure we understand. Talking about John the Baptist, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Make sure there's no misunderstandings here this morning. John the Baptist was not the light. He just told you about the light, right? This morning, As I teach this lesson this morning, I'm not the light. All I'm doing is telling you about the light. Brother Richardson's going to come to the pulpit here in a few moments and preach from this very pulpit. He is not the light, but he is a bearer or a witness or a testimony of that light. By the way, you this morning, you're not the light, but you are a witness of that light. How many's ever seen Jesus Christ face to face? Anybody ever seen him? So how do you know of him? How do you know about Jesus Christ? By the what? The Word. We've already established that here in the first few verses as well. Do you know who the Word is? It's Jesus Christ, dear friend. Everything John's giving you here in the writing is funneling you all the way back to one person. It's always going to go back to one person, Jesus Christ, because he is the light of the world. He is the light. He is the life. He is the Word. He is God. John the Baptist in verse number 8, he wasn't the light, but and it's not diminishing him. He had a very important role. But was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse number 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, it says here. Let me find, I'm already off track of my notes. You see, we continue going back to this here that Jesus Christ, he is that light. He's the light to the world. He's the light into a dark world. Not all darkness is going to comprehend it. Not all the darkness is going to be saved. But some will be. I'm glad this morning I'm one of them that was saved. You know, I could go back in time through all of my younger years and all the friends that I've had. I can't say this morning that every friend that I've ever had comprehended the light. Some of us did. I'm glad I was one of them. I can't imagine being lost this morning. Can you imagine living life and not knowing God this morning? Can you imagine living life not knowing that you're on your way to heaven this morning? You're talking about a miserable life. Let me tell you why the world acts like they act. They're miserable. I mean, if you were in darkness and had no knowledge of God and had no understanding of the Word of God and you didn't know that heaven was your home, you'd be pretty miserable too. I just have a hard time understanding why is Christians so miserable all the time. Because we are children of the light. Verse number 10, I got to hurry here. Verse number 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Pretty astonishing verse. Verse number 11 says, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Talking about Israel. They didn't receive him as his as the Son of God. But I like verse number 12. But, now, you read verse number 10 and verse number 11. That's pretty kind of doom and gloom. Look at verse number 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, I like that. As many as received him. What does it mean when it says as many as received him? We're talking about now those that did what? That believed. To him gave he power to become the what? Do you realize this morning, I know I'm not much to look at, but do you know you're looking at a son of God? Is anybody else here born again? You're saved this morning. When I look at you this morning, do you realize you are a child of God? The same one that made this oak tree, dear friend, I'm his son. You know, all them freaks out in California do all they want to, but you know what? I'm always going to be the son of God. I'm still going to have a smile on my face. It says here, I got to hurry, and I still have a lot I'd like to say. Verse number 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm glad as a 13-year-old boy, I believed on the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, my Savior. It's never going to change. You know, people talk about losing. I couldn't lose my salvation if I tried to. My salvation is as secure as the very hand of God. You know, and there's a lot of things we could talk about this morning. The day that I got saved, guess what? They wrote, my name was written down. And it wasn't one of those erasable ink pens either. My name's written down right now. Did you hear me this morning? It's written down. You see, there's going to come a day, you mark it down. There is coming a day, and it's fast approaching, where the government's going to tell our pastor what he can and cannot say right here. And I don't know. That day, I think, is fast approaching, and I'm not saying I look forward to that, but we're going to find out who's real and who's not. You know, we talk a lot about, you hear missionaries talk about persecution. We don't know what persecution's about. But I think we're about to find out. Do we understand this morning that garbage is pushed down our throats every day? I asked Brother Richardson the other day, what's this commercial where these guys are trying to describe what masculinity is? Y'all seen this one? Got some guy in a little pink jacket, and you know what he's a far cry from masculinity. They're trying to discredit manhood. I think we're getting to the point where our government, where there's not going to be a such thing as a he and a she anymore. It's just them. Our government's going to try to make you think we're all equal. Now, if you believe that, we need to lock you up for just being stupid this morning. We're not equal. God didn't make us equal. We still got to go back to the book of Genesis and find out in the beginning God what? Created. And by the way, he created man and he created woman, and they're not the same. California's trying to make it where a pastor cannot get up and discriminate against those that are confused about their identity, whether they're a guy or a girl. You got to be neutral on all those things. We've got some bad stuff coming down the pike in our country. But no matter what they may say, it's not going to change the fact that he is the light. Jesus Christ is the light. You'll find in verse number 13. Let me go back to verse 12. But as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we're talking about salvation, which were born. All right. We often will say, I was born again. What does that mean? It means I was born spiritually. Born again, or it says verse 13, which were born. Then it says, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of what? God. If you are born again this morning, it is because of God. There's three things here that John wrote about those who believe. He says in verse number 13, not of blood. What does that mean? Salvation is not a matter of what race you are or what nationality you may be, dear friend. He also says here, not of the will of the flesh, which represents the efforts of man. Your flesh cannot inherit heaven this morning. It also says, not of the will of man. What does that mean? It means that one man can't save another man. There's only one way. It says, but of whom? But of God. My lesson tells me to stop right here. I'd like to go on. I like verse 14. We get into it next week. And the Word was made what? I like that. You know who that's going to be? It's Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus Christ is the answer to any problem mankind may have. And we ought to walk out of here this morning boldly proclaiming, to be a witness, just like John the Baptist was a witness in his day. He was a man sent from God. And by the way, you study on, you'll find out you are commissioned as a child of God to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. That's our job. We ought not go out here timid, and we ought not go out here ashamed. We ought not go out and with our head kind of down low because we feel like it's a dark world. It's a dark world. The Word of God acknowledges that. But it's Jesus Christ that brightens up the dark world, and we are a witness of that light this morning. And may we proclaim Jesus Christ to the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We pray that you bless our services today. And God, may you speak. May we leave here today, Lord, challenged, and Lord, may we be motivated to go out and boldly proclaim Jesus Christ to a lost and very dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.